Our text for today is recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It will be the 19th verse, and it will be read during the sermon. You may be seated. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Seems like things are getting kind of depressing lately. Have you looked outside? It's supposed to be, you know, rainy for a couple more days, 40, 50, 60 mile an hour winds. The leaves are just blowing and they're turning soggy now with the rain. Northern Minnesota is supposed to have blizzard conditions possible this afternoon and tonight. North Dakota the same. It's just kind of depressing because you know that 8 months of Minnesota winter is upon us and there's not a thing we can do about it. And I'm serious, though. Politics are depressing as well. It seems as though people aren't talking about issues or matters of the country, but rather making personal attacks against this person or that person. And even within the church, things are depressing as well. It's like somebody opened the door and the foxes are in the hen house and there's problems within the church. Clergy, leadership, pastors are ordaining lesbian men and women clergy and performing homosexual marriages. And they're telling a woman who is pregnant with a baby in her womb that it's really not a baby, it's a decision to be made. And there's some people who are sitting around saying, well, Jesus Christ couldn't have performed miracles because, you know, nobody performs miracles. It just don't happen. And therefore, a bunch of guys in the past must have sat around kind of in a group and they invented a whole bunch of stories that teach ethical lessons and we should just listen to those ethical lessons and that's all that the scriptures are intended to do. It's kind of depressing. And you know, this rot within the church is exactly the context for our text today. There were a couple men who were in the church itself who are trying to convince people that there was no bodily resurrection, that there was a spiritual resurrection, but not a bodily resurrection, that this whole thing was a hoax or a myth. And this was spreading like gangrene. This godless chatter was being heard and given an audience and being spoken of. It's kind of depressing. And so what are we supposed to say? Look at it. Here we are today. Things haven't changed 2,000 years later. We got the same kind of circumstance or situation. Should we just throw up our hands in despair and say, I give up? There's no hope. It's just gloomy and dark. Well, that's the context. But our text picks up where the bad news lets off. And so here is the great news, the good news, the joyful news for us Christians who are so surrounded by the gangrene of evil in this world. Hear now the words of our text. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Interesting. The church, the association which God himself has founded, in spite of all the evil, stands firm. The Christian church, the believers in Jesus Christ, are held tightly by God in his hand. The holy Christian church can never be destroyed. Even as we say in our Augsburg Confession, one holy Christian church will be and remain forever. You're a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so you have peace, comfort, confidence, and security because God has put his seal on you. That word seal, it's kind of like the word trademark that we have today. So if you buy an item or an article of clothing or some sort of commodity or even a car, there is a trademark on that. And that trademark indicates who made it, and therefore suggests the quality of that item, whose ownership went into that. It's a guarantee, if you will. And that's what our text says that God has done. God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with two inscriptions. And the first inscription that God puts his seal, his mark on, is this: the Lord knows those who are his. Christian, you belong to God. God created you. God made you. God has kept you. He has preserved you. He owns you. You belong to God. And if you belong to God, he is not going to let go of you. Just listen to these very familiar and comforting passages from Scripture. First of all, from John chapter 10, verses 14 and 28. The good shepherd knows his sheep and gives eternal life to them, and they shall certainly never perish, and no one will snatch them out of his hand. God won't let go of you, Christian. From Psalm 46, verse 5, God is in the midst of his city, that is the church, and it shall not be moved. And then from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, God's kingdom cannot be shaken. The church, the believers, are not going to succumb and go the way of the world. But no, you are God's own dear child, and he's hanging on tightly to you. That's the first seal or guarantee or trust that God has given you by his authority. And so what is the second message God has for you of joy and comfort? It is this: everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Ooh, that sounds confusing. But just consider the order. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. In other words, you are a believer. You are a Christian. And then it says, turn away from wickedness. And you might be saying to yourself, but I'm not perfect. I have sinned. I sin all the time. I can't help it. I try not to. It just happens. So am I not a believer? Notice what this says. It does not talk about where you have reached, as if you could reach perfection in this life. It talks about the direction you are headed towards righteousness and away from wickedness. So just put it in the context of God's salvation history. God knew that you would be born in your iniquity and sin, headed in the direction of wickedness. And so he anticipated that 2,000 years ago. And he sent his son into this world to live a perfect life because he knew you couldn't. And so you could have credit for Jesus' perfect life. And then so you wouldn't have to suffer the pain and the torment, eternal punishment for your iniquities, God selected his son to receive that terrible curse where he took all of our sins upon himself and died the pain of hell itself in our place. And so God accomplished that 2,000 years ago just for you. And then he saw to it that you were conceived and born into this world, still a sinner. And then God gave you what he requires, and that is faith. And then he has kept you in that faith through his word and sacraments to this very day. You're not headed in the direction of wickedness. You're headed in the direction of righteousness. Fear not. Don't worry. Everything is all right. You have God's word on it. You are his possession, and he will not let go of you, and your walk is heavenward all the way. You are saved. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Yesterday, I received an email from a former Bethany student asking me to pray for his brother who has been deployed to Afghanistan. And I thought, wouldn't it be important for all of us to pray for our military personnel? And so we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts are in distress when we think of the many young people of our land who are called into military service to defend their country and our country. Keep them from becoming bitter or discouraged. Help them realize that your divine providence always controls their lives and that, come what may, all things will work together for their ultimate good. Grant them courage to perform their duties well. Keep their minds and bodies pure. Shield them from harm and temptation. In doubts and fears, give them a conquering faith. Enable them ever to live and to serve that they may be your effective witnesses. Dear Lord, soon end all strife and establish peace among the people of the earth. Meanwhile, we entrust to your care our loved ones. Provide guidance and love. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and souls and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, until everlasting life. Depart in peace. Amen.